scriptures that I'm going to read is the New American Standard Bible version. We were talking at breakfast that I have recently gone electric. Years and years ago, I went with my... I'm blessed that with all three of my kids, I've got two girls and a boy, that I was blessed enough to go on their first international mission trips with them. And it's really interesting when you go down to Chiapas, Mexico, or San Paulo, or Limon, some places like that. You know, at any given time, I'm one man in my apartment, and I've probably got 9 or 10 different Bibles in there. You know, I've got the NIV, I've got King James, I've got, you know, the New American Standard, and there are people over there that have never read a Bible. They've never held a Bible. We take it for granted. And so, in a minute, I'll open up with Matthew, and I'll be in the NASB. And if you've got a version, please read along with me. But as you hear these words, I'm going to be praying here in a minute before I start up. And I ask you to just take the next, 25, 30 minutes. I'm not going to belabor this. I'm not going to go real deep. But clear your calendar. As I used to tell myself before a race, clear the mechanism. Blot out everything. Clear your mind. Clear your heart. And listen to what the Lord says in these passages. And please think about this and hear it from the Lord. I'm not an educated man. I am nothing but a man. But hear this from the Lord. If you bow your heads with me, please. Father God, I come before you right now, Lord, and I just pray that you will allow me to be totally transparent, that you will lay it upon my heart and my mind to speak the words that you want spoken here. They don't need to hear from Alan. They're here to commune with you. That they want your words. They want how you want to use them in 2024 and how you want them to react, to act, and how to live life every day. We are here on Sunday, but they need something to get them through the week. Sunday is a good day. It's an exciting day. It is the day that we heard you tell us to set aside for you. But we are not called to be one-day Christians. We are called to be with you 24/7, 365. And I can't speak for anybody but Alan, but I can't do that on my own. I fall flat on my face 5 minutes after I walk out of this door. So, Father, show me how to walk with you. I need you to be my walker. I need to lean on you to make it through until it is time to come back through these doors and sit down and commune with you. Father, I enjoy this so much when I come in and see brothers and sisters on Sunday at church. But I need to be just as excited when I'm sitting at home in my recliner and I'm grabbing this Bible. So use me to show these folks what you expect of them, not only today, but every day from here on out. Father, I believe there is one God. You had one Son, and you created one Holy Spirit. And Father, off that Trinity, every person in this world can feed off of. You have that much power. You have that much love. Father, one of the gentlemen at our breakfast today said something I've never thought of, but I thought it was quite a statement, so I'm going to repeat it here. God loved us so much, He sent His one and only Son to pay for our sins. But He'd go one step further. I believe He would give His own life if it meant saving us. So lead us to Your Word today. Show us in these scriptures that I'm going to be reading in a moment what You want us to learn. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Just to give a short background, I was born in Wellington, Kansas, moved to Texas when I was 2 years old, and with the exception of about a little over a year, I've been in Texas ever since. So my grandma, Roxy, who was a wonderful lady, she used to call me a Texican because I was part Texas, part Kansas. So she used to have fun with that. I believe that we are not to give things up. I think we should work for everything that we've got. When I was 12 years old, I decided that I wanted a new bicycle. I'd gotten one a few years before for my birthday, and it still worked, but there was this neat thing called a Schwinn 10-speed. And I thought, wow, all I've got's one gear. I need 10. And Mom and Daddy said, that bicycle works just fine. We're not buying you one. I said, but I want it. And my dad said, well, you're going to have to work for it. After I got done stomping my feet, going to my bedroom, sitting on the bed, I thought, he makes sense. Okay, I'll work for it. So I got a paper route. And thus started the tug of war. Materialism versus what do we need from God? And where does He come off making those decisions? What makes Him the God that He is? And today I want to look at it from kind of a different point of view. when you come into Matthew, like I say, I'm going to start in verse 4. This is a period of time when I think Jesus kind of turned the tables. At this time, if you wanted something, you went, whoops, me and the microphone are making weird noises here. If you wanted something, you went to the rabbi and said, I want to follow you, or I want to follow this carpenter or this journeyman. And they decided what you were going to do. Well, at this point in the game, in my opinion, Jesus kind of flipped the rules. So we're going to start off in Matthew 4, chapter 18. I'm going to say a quick prayer before we start here. Father God, as we go deeper in your word, Father, open this up. Show us what you need us to see in the reading of your word here. Apply it to our hearts. And for each person, there may be a different interpretation. So open up their hearts. Open up their minds. Bind back Satan and let us get a just full Holy Spirit-infused transfusion from your words in Matthew and Isaiah here. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Matthew 4:18. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. The first word in verse 20 really strikes a very interesting chord, I believe. And that word is immediately. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. And here's that word again. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Oops. Now, folks, to me, I can't picture that. My warped little Texan mind cannot wrap around the magnanimous bravery, for lack of another word. I mean, I have to picture it in a way that it makes sense to me. Okay? I'm outside my house there in Amarillo, and I'm under the hood of whatever little tinker toy I brought home that week to fix up and play with. I'm a big car guy. I'm a gearhead. You know, I can't stop tinkering. So I'm there in the driveway and got this engine pulled apart and I'm working on it. And this dude in sandals walks by and says, hey, leave that. You're going to follow me. Yeah. And what Halloween party have you been to today? But there had to be something there. You know, think about it. These guys had, you know, been there and wanted to be journeymen or priests or whatever. and their rabbi had said, no, you need to go into the family business. That isn't right for you. So at what point did that happen? But they're there casting their nets, taking care of business. And here comes this guy that, from everything I've looked up, they've never seen him before. But he says, hey, leave that alone. You're coming with me. I got different plans. He threw it, turned around, and walked. Wow. That's a totally different ladder rung of faith than what I think I would have. I mean, think about it. You're just leaving it. You don't know where dinner's coming from tonight. You know, where are they going to pick up their next cup of coffee to be able to make it through the rest of the day? All of the thoughts that I'm guessing were going through their mind, it doesn't address that. It just says they followed. I mean, what was it that was in their hand that they were using that they could help their Lord? What do we have in our hands that we can use to help the Lord? What have we done this past week that helped the Lord, that helped our fellow man, or was it all for what helped me? What have we done? Where have we been? How have we acted? Who did we encounter? Who did we just pass off like they weren't there? Who did we pass like they weren't there? Who passed us? These are all things that are part of life. And I don't think that our lives today, from the Christian standpoint, are so totally diversified from how life was back then. I mean, casting nets is not entirely different. They were catching our food. We still eat today. There's still people that provide that. We never hear of a certain city or village or family that starved because these 12 men chose to follow Jesus instead of doing what they were doing. So there has to be an intertwining of lives and of what was going on at the time for them to do what they did. So, put yourself in that position. You're sitting at home. You're out at your job. You're out watching kids, grandkids. You're on vacation, sitting on a boat, and this guy comes along and puts out his hand and says, follow me. Do you have the faith? Do you have what it takes to drop what you're doing and go on and follow them? fast forward to tomorrow, you're sitting at home. You got the TV clicker in your hand. Are you going to turn on the TV, or are you going to find a Bible and do some Bible surfing? Are you going to stop and say a prayer? In that prayer, are you going to pray for yourself? Are you going to pray for Pastor and Terry? Are you going to pray for our elections this week? Are you going to pray for the person that wins, that loses? Are you going to pray for that neighbor that you walked by the other day and happened to hear had something going on that needed some attention? How are you going to use what's in your hand? Now, some of you can say, my hand is empty. I don't have anything. I don't buy that. We've got something. You've lived your life. You've been educated. Whether it was through schools or whether it was through the Hard Knocks Life, you know. I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. I don't have a college degree. I was smart enough to graduate high school, but that's it. And the majority of my life, once I was smart enough to listen to what Lori Beth, my wife, told me all those years ago and get going on the right track and stay involved with church, I did pretty good. But when I lost her, I went off the rails. I got a severe case of the stupids and turned my back for a little bit. But things have turned around, and I'm trying to get back in there. But we're fortunate enough that we've got a God that realizes He made humans. Now, I like to think that He made us in His image. He didn't whip out the Xerox machine and just start cranking the handle or pushing the button. He forms us. Started it way back when with Adam and Eve, and hasn't changed the process a whole lot since. So, in my mind, He's saying, hey, it ain't broke. Don't fix it. So this cloning and all those things, I don't buy it. God made you a he and a she. It ain't broke. Don't fix it, folks. So, what are we to do? We're going to make mistakes. That's the reason He gave us things like praying for forgiveness. That's the reason He made repentance. That's the reason He made us to commune. He didn't tell us, hey, go sit over there and think about this and brew on it. No. He made places like this for us to come together, for us to take His Word, His inherent Word, and learn from it. And to talk to one another and say, hey, I was reading Matthew 4:18, and I think this. And to me, it is saying this. Now, I may see it as blue, but you may see it as sky blue, or you may see it as green. Who's right? Who's wrong? Well, in the hereafter, that'll be settled. But while we're on earth, we have to work together. And we have to decide, okay, these things, I'm not going to argue with you. There's one God. His son was born of a Virgin Mary. We went through our list a little bit earlier. Those things, I won't debate. If you believe that, and I believe that, let's sit down and talk and enjoy each other. Come on over, I'll put on the coffee pot or get a pitcher of tea and some cookies and we can discuss it. And at the end of that discussion, we can look around and shake hands and agree to disagree on a few things, but most of it we'll agree on. But what are you going to do between now and the time you come back here? How can you serve Him? I learned something a lot of years ago that it's hard to discuss something that you know nothing about. So if we're going to sit down and study, we got to study the Bible. And we've got to see what it has to say to us. And when we bow our heads and close our eyes and talk to Jesus, we've got to know what to talk about. Now, we've got a list here of prayer concerns. And we need to do that. We need to lift one another up. And we've got to talk to people to know that. But in order to be able to pray about this in a manner in which it makes sense to the Lord and to our fellow believers, we've got to have a relationship with Jesus. And we've got to know His Word. And just like it tells us here in Matthew, that Jesus called them and they immediately knew. How did they know? There had to be some time in their life that they spent in the Word. Now, I don't know enough about this to know exactly how that took place. But I know that they had to seek out the Lord and that they had to know who He was. Because if they didn't have some idea of who He was, they would not have had the faith to just drop and run. Now, in Isaiah 51, he talks about pursuing Him and how we need to seek Him and how we're going to do that. And I'm going to use a couple of verses. I'm in Isaiah 51 and I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who pursue the righteous, who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was only one, I called him. Then I blessed him and I multiplied him. Think about this. Those, from everything we can research and find out, they were just ordinary men. No special abilities. But God is telling us, okay, look at this. And I take from the way that that is worded, look to the rock from which you were cut and for the quarry from which you were dug. To me, he's talking about family. Okay? I was born from Tom and Catherine. And I came from the Ashley family and the Woods family. And that is something to be proud of. Now, from what little bit I can go back in my family tree, there's nobody special in my family. I am nobody special. But in God's eyes, apparently I am somebody special. Because God don't make junk. He makes us all. He knows the hair, or lack thereof, that is on our head. He made the birds that fly. He made that little fur ball that wakes me up by jumping on my face and licking my face in the morning to make sure I'm still pumping and going. And he made those two beautiful little grandbabies that I get to agitate every now and then. Look around you. You have things in your hand. You have a lifetime of knowledge. You're special. You're a member of God's family. Therefore, you are something special. Now, every now and again, family can mess up. Oops, I did a big boo-boo last week. I stepped it. I done went and made all three of my kids just twisted. I made a trip to Texarkana to see my mama, and we went up to Waldron, Arkansas to visit my dad's grave and clean up. Then I drove back to Houston. Hey, I kept it between the ditches. I didn't get a ticket. I didn't wreck my truck. I didn't make anybody mad that I'm aware of. Success. I just forgot to tell the kids I was going somewhere. Now I got to put it on the scales. Who forgives me quicker and easier? The man upstairs or the three kids here on earth? Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Okay. I think that part of the reason that God made us in His image versus cranking out that Xerox copy is He's got a sense of humor. He wanted us, no, I'm not going to use that word. He realized if He made us in His image, we was going to screw it up. He's got a sense of humor. He knew that. But what He is interested in observing is, what do we do with that? We sweep it under the carpet, keep it in the black, keep it in the black. What He don't know can't hurt me. I had news for you. He already knows it. But He wants to hear it from your mouth to His ears. Lord, I do it again. I messed up. and I'm sorry. And I'm going to do my best not to do it like that again. Now, here's the part where the trouble continues with me. I say that. But what am I going to do this week? That's going to take that number 9.5 size foot and put it all the way up to my kneecap in my mouth so that when I twiddle my toes, I can tickle my tonsils. Because I'm going to do it. I keep trying, and I get better. I think I'm better at it now at 64 than I was when I was 24. Because I look at all the crap I did back then compared to what I do today. It still ain't right. It's still broke. But it's better. I heard another interesting thing at breakfast this morning. I got a real education this morning. I am so glad. I actually thought about not going. But one of the guys said that there's a gentleman here in these apartments that's 98 years old. And he started some time back, said that every night before he goes to bed, he takes about 5 minutes to review his day. And he says, "Hey, Jesus, thank you for the air that I breathe. Thank you for the bed I'm sleeping in, for the food that I ate today, for the fact that you put me in the United States of America, where we've got wonderful men and women that are out there fighting for our freedom every day. We've got men and women that jump on fire trucks and go run into a fire just because that's their job. Just because I'm stupid enough to plug that thing in that's going to go boom. We've got policemen out on the street that when I'm stupid enough to drop that accelerator pedal and go through that red light, they're going to pull me over and go, you got a case of the stupid, son. Let me see your driver's license. And when Billy Bad Boy decides to beat up on that family member or go rob that bank, they're going to go grab them up and put them behind bars. Folks, we're blessed. We are in the United States of America, the best country in the world. And we need to thank God for that. We need to keep that in mind. And if we do what they are talking about here, and we remember, what, how to put it here, look to the rock from which you were cut and the quarry from which you were dug. If you don't occasionally look behind you and remember where you're from, you ain't going to get where you're supposed to go. Also, if you don't do anything but look behind you, you ain't going to get where you're supposed to go. And if you don't use that rearview mirror in that car or in your walk of life to occasionally look behind you, we don't have problems. You can't get tunnel vision and just look straight ahead and concentrate on that. You got to do a little bit of everything. We are so blessed. We have that freedom of religion. We have free will. When God created us, He gave us free will. Once again, He didn't crank out a Xerox copy. He gave us a mind, reasoning power, and He put us in a part of the country where not all those minds are alike. They got different thoughts. They got different interpretations. We got animals that think different. Some of them are on two legs. Some of them are on four legs. Some of them got six or eight legs, and they are creepy crawly. Some of them don't have legs. They're snakes, and they slither. So we've got to be mindful of what's around us. And we've got to be mindful of what we've got in our hands. And we've got to be careful with that technology. I like these new electronic Bibles. But that technology can take you places you don't belong. But that's okay. Your mind can do that too. So we've got to be mindful. And we've got to direct where we're going and how we're going to get there and who we're going to ask to come along. And right here in Katy, Texas, there are folks from all over the world. And just because somebody's a little bit different doesn't mean they don't belong on the journey. We got to take everybody. We got to take those we like, those we're not quite so fond of. But that's okay. When we get on our knees at night, well, figuratively speaking, before we eat, before we go to bed, whenever, wherever it is, you choose to pray. Pray. Pray fervently. Pray without ceasing. I'm a big gardener, and I'm almost as big a music nut as I am a car nut. I've shared this with Grace a lot of times, that I'm one of those idiots you see around town that just thinks everybody's entitled to listen to my music. I turn it up a little bit too loud. And man, when I'm driving, I'm beating on the steering wheel, waving my hand and all that kind of stuff. Because to me, there's more than one way to communicate. Your body language says a lot. The way you sit there while you're talking to somebody. The way you drive down the road. I purposely do not have "God loves you" on the back of my truck. Because when I cut in front of you trying to get around and get where I'm going, I don't want a bad reflection on God for my lousy driving. So, you know, I get where I'm going. God, thank you for getting me here safe. And for that little red car that I'm sorry, for the lead foot, I got a Hemi. It's got a roar. That's just the way it is. I got that V8. I ain't got one of these little electric motor things. I'm old school. But just think about it. We're all different. God put us here for a reason. He put you guys in this room today for a reason. I don't have a clue what you need. I don't have a clue how you are hurting. I don't have a clue who picked you off on the phone this week or how many times I cut you off in traffic. I don't know what happened. But I do know that God cares and that all you've got to do is keep that line of communication open. I've attempted to have relationships in which I did not communicate very well or if at all. It don't work. Keep the lines of communication open. Find somebody, hopefully a couple of somebodies, that when you're sitting at home and your temperature goes from whatever it's supposed to be, 98.6 to, 100, whether it be spiritually or mentally or whatever, don't just wait to become a steam cooker and blow up on somebody. Pick up your phone. Call somebody. Text. Email. But before you do that, take a deep breath. Count to 10. Say a prayer. Let Jesus know what's going on. Because guess what? He already knows. But share it with him. And then share it with somebody here. Don't know that we can fix it. Don't know that we can't. But if we don't know, we can't try. It didn't even get to Luke 10. I thought I'd run out of time before I made it here. I apologize for going down a couple of these rabbit holes, but guys, you've got a wonderful family here. I was a part of it for a while and thoroughly enjoyed it. And if some health things hadn't come up, probably still be here. Take that little notebook. I hope you made some notes in it. Take those home with you. Look at them over the next few days. Think about what you've got in your hands. Think about where we need to be when. Think about what's going on. Think about who these folks are that are in your life and how we can all come together to make the good situation even better. I'm going to get political for about 30 seconds. If you haven't voted, please go vote. It's important as an individual that you have your say. Personally speaking, I think it's more important as a person that believes in God that we let that voice be heard. Okay, that's it for political. I'm going to close this in a prayer right quick, then I'm going to ask Grace to come up and lead us in our closeout song. I thank you for your courtesy today. I hope I've said a few things that have put some wheels in motion to get you thinking. And God bless. Thank you. Father God, you are an awesome God. I thank you for who you are. And for me personally, I want to thank you for whose I am. I want to thank you for putting me in the family that you did, both my blood family and my godly family. Father, I pray that a few of the words that I've spoke will spark some conversation today. I pray that these ladies and gentlemen that are out here today will walk a little different from now on, that they're going to see things a little bit different, and that it's all for the better. I thank you for the fact that you are a forgiving God, that you gave us free will. That does not mean that we can do whatever we want without repercussions. Father, for every action, there is an equal and an opposite action. So, Father, when we as people do something, it means one thing. When we as Christian people do something, that means something. And we need to be mindful of that and know that we are your representatives, and we need to continue to take that in mind, that Christianity is life, not a lifestyle, and it needs to be true. I pray that throughout these coming days, weeks, months, we can live up to the image of your Son. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Okay? Grace, if you'll come and lead us.